The following is a Cryptocurrency Wire audio production. Cryptocurrency Wire is one of 50-plus trusted brands from the investor brand network, IBN. As a multifaceted financial news and publishing company, Investor Brand Network uses its network of more than 5,000 key distribution outlets, as well as other corporate communication tools, to introduce public and private companies to a wide audience of investors, consumers, journalists, and the general public. Our reputation for highly efficient communication strategies is based on the experience and relationships our team has in the space. It is Investor Brand Network's unwavering commitment to connect the investment community with companies that have great potential and a strong dedication to building shareholder value. The following interview may feature a client partner of Investor Brand Network. Investor Brand Network may have been compensated for the production of this interview. Please be sure to read our entire disclaimer for full disclosure.
Thank you all for joining us for our interview with Charlie Lee. He is well known in the blockchain space for creating Litecoin in 2011, which is still one of the most popular cryptocurrencies, even with thousands of coins and tokens being launched over the years. So Charlie, I'd really like to focus on unpacking your perspective on all the new things that are happening in the crypto world today. Let's start by talking about how things have evolved since you founded Litecoin. How would you recap the last 11 years or so?
It's like a lifetime. It's been a long time. The whole crypto space has gone through like many, I want to call it like boom and bust cycles, where bull market and bear market. So the price, if we just talk about the price has gone crazy, right? Since when I first got into Bitcoin, Bitcoin was at $30, right? And then it crashed to like $2, and then it's been up and down. And recently, as you've all known, we've crashed back down quite a bit since the high of almost $70,000. So it's, in terms of like the price, it's been a crazy wild ride.
Of course. And what about some of the innovations or service providers? Any highlights?
Unfortunately, like recently, like the FTX blow up, it's actually quite similar to, well, not exactly the same, but when I first got into this space, like the biggest exchange was Mt. Gox. People had all their funds there, and then Mt. Gox got hacked and lost like a lot of money. And kind of similar things happening right now with FTX, where it's not a hack, but they've lost like all the customer deposits, which is kind of sad that we're kind of repeating history over again.
Absolutely. And I know one of the popular questions that I know the listeners want me to ask is, knowing that many of the coins that hit the top 10 market cap lists in the past are virtually worthless by comparison today, what insights could you share as to why Litecoin has been able to maintain such a strong position over the years?
I think Litecoin, one of the reasons is of its fair launch. Like there's no ICO. It was launched publicly. Like I myself had to mine and buy coins off exchanges like anyone else, right? We didn't print any coins. So it was very fair. Everyone had their chance of buying and mining Litecoin from the start. That really helped kind of the narrative that it's just money for the people and not something to enrich a small group of people. Whereas a lot of the coins that have kind of gone bust are coins that have like huge pre-mines, a big ICO where the development team like took in hundreds of millions of dollars and kind of just didn't do much with it. And since they already made their money, there's no incentive to actually work on the project anymore. So a lot of those projects have died. And Litecoin has kind of been pretty steady and just kind of onwards and upwards without a lot of big hype, and just the network has been up and running for 11 years plus with zero downtime, and that's kind of unheard of in this space. It just works and people use it every day for small payments, for buying stuff, and the adoption and usage has just gone up over the last 11 years kind of without much of a break. Unlike the price, which has been a very roller coaster ride, adoption has just been increasing over time.
Well, that's a great synopsis. The things that really jumped out at me is no hype and fair launch. When I think about the others that have been in the top 10 list, I haven't been around nearly as long as you have in the space, but it's just amazing to me how everybody is so excited on this overhyped coin, and then eventually it dies out and something else comes along that gets hyped just as much. There was a graphic that went around Twitter recently showing all the different coins that were in the top 10 and how long they stayed. And it's just really incredible to see what Litecoin has been able to accomplish. And, you know, maybe that will help, you know, those listening to know which ones to focus on, you know, for, you know, the next 11 years. But just kind of continuing on here, what have you been working on most recently?
The past few years, I've been focused on a technology we call MWeb, which is something that adds fungibility and privacy to Litecoin. It's we launched it earlier this year, and it's been very successful. And it's just something that fungibility is something that's missing or was missing from Litecoin and Bitcoin. And this is something that would improve Litecoin as a currency, as money. So one of the features that's really important for money is fungibility, which means that every Litecoin is equivalent to any other Litecoin. So when you're paying for stuff, you don't have to care about which Litecoin you spend. And MWeb does that, which helps with fungibility.
Understood, especially with some of the headlines that came out earlier this year. If the Ethereum you had, or maybe one of the other coins that you had, came from a bad source, it'd no longer be good, even though technically it's worth as much as any other Ethereum. Because of its source, it might be rejected, and then that would cause less people to want it if you can't use it in, you know, popular, I don't know, exchanges or different ways of using it as payment.
Yeah, one of the big things about why Bitcoin really resonated with me early on is because it's censorship resistant, right? It's something, a feature that's very important for money. When you spend money, like, no one else should be able to tell you what you can or cannot do with your own money. And fungibility is a part of that. Without fungibility, someone can censor your transaction because they just don't like where it came from, where you got the money from. And that's not great for money. So that's what we're trying to do. That's what I'm trying to do, is just to make the best form of money possible. And fungibility is a big part of that. So that's what I've been focused on the last few years.
Awesome. And I also understand that you're working with our friends over at Horizon and Upstream. What are some of the ways you'll be assisting their projects?
Most of it is just my experience in the space. I mean, I've been in the space for a while, since 2011. So I've seen a lot of stuff that's happened. A lot of companies go do well, do poorly. So just my experience in the space, I think, will be a big help to what they're trying to do. So like, they're trying to do like a non-custodial exchange, which is very important these days, where users don't, where they don't control users' funds. For like this current blow up with FTX, that's one of the biggest issue, where the exchange controlled the users' funds and they lent out the users' funds to other people. And that kind of just whole thing blew up. So non-custodial exchanges, decentralized exchanges is I think it's going to be quite important in their future. So I'm hoping to see Upstream do a good job with that.
Absolutely. And just being able to take a publicly listed NASDAQ company and get that in a form that can be traded, you know, all over the world using USDC or, you know, some of the other payment methods is very exciting. Can you share any future rollouts, or is that kind of tight-lipped until it gets announced officially?
Yeah, I don't think I'm in a position to share any news with Upstream. I'm probably not in the know of all their secrets right yet. But even if I am in the know, it's not my position to share. But I expect to see some cool stuff coming out from the company.
Awesome. And one of the things that I noticed, you know, with the recent flash dip caused by FTX, is that Litecoin very rapidly recovered. Definitely one of the very few at the time. Some others have recovered back to their previous trading ranges. But why do you think Litecoin was one of the very few to so quickly recover at the beginning?
I think a few reasons. One is Litecoin price has been underperforming, I would say, for a while now. So that's kind of a correction to that. The other is, I think Litecoin is a safe coin to invest in. It's kind of a flight to safety because Litecoin has been around for a while. It's not just going to go to zero like some of these newer tokens like FTT or Luna or something like that, right? So there's just more stability in Litecoin. So that's why I think that's why it's performed well the past few weeks, the past few months, actually, which has been a pleasant surprise. I think, yeah. I think that's the main reason is because of flight to safety and just the stability of Litecoin. And also the fact that Litecoin is actually being used. A lot of these tokens are just, they're not really being used, right? Litecoin is being used daily for transactions. People actually use it and there's actual use cases for Litecoin. I think that's why.
Excellent points. So what do you think about the Web3 movement and NFTs in general?
I think there's a lot of hype. I think it's a bit too overhyped. I mean, there's been a huge crash this year for sure. But previously there's, I would say, a little bit too much hype about what NFT can do. A lot of things are priced way too high than what it should be. I think we're back to kind of a good place now without too much hype. So I do think there is some potential for NFT to be quite useful in this space. And Web3 is kind of like it's a very generic term to cover everything that is crypto blockchain related. But there's definitely some key like decentralized applications that could be quite useful. And something that comes to mind is like decentralized lending platforms, for example, decentralized loans. As we see all the centralized like lending platforms imploding these days, something that's decentralized where users actually control their own funds or it's locked up and you can see it's there, it's not being abused, not being like lent out to someone else, is, I think it's something that has value. And I think we'll see more of that pop up.
Yeah, I totally agree. And where do you see things headed for crypto in the next 5 years?
Next 5 years, I do think the price will recover. I'm always most bullish long-term. In the short term, anything can happen. Long-term, I'm still very bullish with Bitcoin, Litecoin, and crypto in general. In terms of, I think this FTX-ish situation will cause a lot of volatility in the near term, and it's going to take some time for things to recover, but I think it will. I think you see more and more countries adopting Bitcoin and cryptocurrency as money, right, or as legal tender, like with El Salvador and other countries. I think we'll see more of that. Eventually, the ETF will be approved, making it much easier for just everyone to be able to have exposure to Bitcoin and crypto. I think that would be very helpful for the space.
For sure. Yeah, that's, for some people, that's the only way they'll ever get into it. Mm-hmm. And I do think people are understanding that it's more risky not to have exposure than to have exposure. You know, if we're talking smaller asset allocations percentage-wise. But before we close, I just have to ask a couple more questions. First, what are your thoughts on Bitcoin's low-fee Lightning Network and how it might compete with Litecoin?
Yeah, so I've been a huge proponent of Bitcoin Lightning. I mean, I was really pushing for Litecoin to adopt SegWit, to implement SegWit, get that activated on Litecoin. So to help actually Bitcoin activate SegWit and get Lightning. I was a huge proponent of Lightning. I think it's great. It's great to have a second layer solution on top of the blockchain that has faster, cheaper payments. There are trade-offs. It's a little bit harder to use. I mean, it's taking building out like a good UI for Lightning, making it so that what's important is for people to not be able to have to think about what kind of payment network they're using when they're paying, right? So like when people are using a credit card to pay, they swipe their card or use a chip or whatever, they don't really care about what happens in the background, right? In the background, it could be five different banks or intermediate banks being like asked for or talked to before something is approved. To the consumer, they don't care and they don't want to know and they don't need to know. And right now, unfortunately, using Bitcoin, even crypto and Lightning, there's just a lot more kind of overhead that people have to know about. So UX needs to be improved to make it easy, seamless, and just simple for people to use. And a lot of people are working on that. There's been a lot of improvements over the past few years, but I think more work needs to be done. In terms of like comparing with Lightning with Litecoin, it's definitely a good question. I think a lot of people still like to have kind of have their transaction on the blockchain as opposed to have it settled on the blockchain. So using Litecoin, fees are still a lot cheaper than Bitcoin. It's sub penny fees and transactions are on the blockchain. And that's good for a lot of people and it's useful. Lightning will definitely be useful when it becomes much easier to use. And also Litecoin also has a Lightning network. So if fees on the Litecoin Lightning network would be cheaper than fees on the Bitcoin Lightning network, if it ever gets to that, right? So I do think Litecoin and Bitcoin are complementary to each other. And a lot of people use both. Like I use both for payments.
Yeah, I actually started using both for payments too. And I realized just how widely adopted it was for commerce solutions. I think there was one thing I bought where it was only Bitcoin Litecoin. Might have had Bitcoin Cash, but I'm pretty sure it wasn't Ethereum and definitely none of the others. So it's special in that way as well. And on that note, Michael Saylor mentioned recently that Litecoin is most likely a digital commodity like Bitcoin instead of a security, which was kind of a big deal because he's basically been saying this whole time, they're all virtually securities other than Bitcoin. But never really got specific of which one or how many might not actually be a security. Do you have any thoughts on all of that?
He's totally right. It is funny because he's always talking about Bitcoin and only Bitcoin and there's no second best. So it's nice to hear him say Litecoin could potentially also be considered a commodity, which if you talk to anyone in this space, they would not think that Litecoin is any more a security than Bitcoin, right? It's more of a commodity than a security by all definition of securities and commodities. It's definitely a commodity. There's no pre-mine, there's no company behind it. When you're buying Litecoin, you're not expecting someone else to work on your behalf to make Litecoin more valuable. That's what I set out to create, right? A decentralized cryptocurrency, and that's what it's all about. And in this space, there are definitely a lot of coins that are kind of securities. There's nothing wrong with securities, and the upstream is creating a securities exchange, right? But it's treated differently by SEC and CFTC.
Yeah, and even what they're doing with the NFT thing is very different than creating a JPEG collection, of 10,000 and finding ways to hype it up in order to drive adoption, get people to pay real money for those NFTs directly as a way to make themselves rich. So there's definitely some very interesting applications on that side. Listeners should definitely go to Upstream's website and explore. One other thing I'd like to ask before we close out, what do you think attracts crypto investors to Litecoin, and what is the primary glue that holds the community together?
What attracts crypto investors to Litecoin? I think one is just diversification. So it's good to be diversified, for your portfolio to be diversified in terms of different asset classes, but within the same asset class, like cryptocurrency, it's good to have a diversified portfolio in terms of having different coins. I think Litecoin is also very, very reliable, very stable, and just has a long history. So it's a coin that can be trusted. I think that's one of the reasons why people invest in it. And your second question was?
Oh, just the primary glue that holds the community together.
Yeah, good question. I think it's kind of just the ideal of Litecoin being good, sound money. I think it's people are not in Litecoin to get rich quick, right? So they support sound money, and they use Litecoin as money. And I think that's one of the main reasons a lot of people are supporting Litecoin, and that's what holds the community together.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for sharing your personal perspective on all of this. Things have definitely gone very far in a very short amount of time. And as a Litecoin hodler myself, I can't wait to get this out to our subscribers. Thanks so much for joining us.
Yep, thank you.
This audio interview is an original broadcast provided by Cryptocurrency Wire. Cryptocurrency Wire, CCW, is a Crypto Wire news and content distribution syndicate that provides access to a syndicate of wire services via InvestorWire to reach all target markets, industries, and demographics in the most effective manner possible. Cryptocurrency Wire is another brand under the Investor Brand Network. Investor Brand Network may receive payments for corporate communication relations, as well as various press releases and social media solutions provided to its clients. You should assume that officers and directors of Investor Brand Network or financial analysts mentioned hold a position in and may intend to trade the securities for their own accounts. This interview is not an offer or recommendation to buy or sell securities. Information in this broadcast is presented solely for informative purposes and is not intended to be, or should it be construed, as investment advice. As in all investments, investment in the featured company carries an investment risk. Listeners should review the company thoroughly with a registered investment advisor or registered stockbroker. This audio interview by Investor Brand Network is not purport to be a complete study of the featured company or other companies mentioned. Information used and statements of fact have been obtained from featured company and other sources, but not verified nor guaranteed by Investor Brand Network as to completeness and accuracy. Such information is subject to change without notice. Please see our full disclaimers and disclosures at investorbrandnetwork.com.